This Week in Agriculture is a production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look at this week in the markets, I'm Jamie Dickerman. USDA's supply-demand report for July landing close to trade expectations, but Total Farm Marketing senior analyst Brian Daugherty says there were enough adjustments to provide modest support for the grain markets.
So ending stocks 25-26 season came in at $2,020,000,000. So that's what's expected to be left over, Jamie, at the end of this summer when the marketing year ends. The last month's number was $2,145,000,000. So if you might remember, quarterly stocks came in 100 million bushels less, so it came right out of the carryout and then some. The average PBR report estimate was 2.077. So a lot of times reports come out and people go, oh, okay, you got all these numbers, but they're relative to something, usually from expectations. So down 57 million bushels from expectation. So I'd put that needle towards slightly supportive. Ending stocks for next year, down 65 million from expectations, so slightly supportive there.
USDA's latest livestock outlook pointing to tighter beef supplies ahead. The department lowering the 2026-2027 beef production forecasts on slower steer and heifer marketings, while raising cattle price expectations for the third quarter. Pork production trimmed slightly following the latest hogs and pigs report, while broiler production increasing as poultry producers continue to benefit from favorable margins. The wheat futures found some big-time support on Friday from developments in the Black Sea region, according to Ag Resource Company analyst Nathan Losey.
Azov Canal over in Russia was closed overnight due to a Ukrainian drone attack, and so that's an export channel for Russian wheat, so that's going to certainly be slowed or stopped for a while, and so that's got the wheat market excited.
The soybean market had recent gains and giving many producers an opportunity to improve profit margins ahead of harvest. Northland Farm Business Management instructor Betsy Jensen says growers should take a close look at current prices and determine whether now is the right time to make sales.
So soybeans are, you know, all the commodity prices are cousins, they're all related, but soybeans are one that can still have a bit of a rally even into August. We know the soybean crop is made in August, and so there is still a chance for soybeans to rally later on in the year, but it is so tough to look at these prices and not want to take advantage of that. And so I really do encourage farmers to kind of run some numbers, see what their crop looks like. And we are lucky, our basis is actually still respectable for harvest as well. So I am really encouraged to sell soybeans for fall delivery, especially if you want to generate some cash.
Jensen says there's still plenty of uncertainty before the crop reaches the bin, with August weather, disease pressure, and aphids all capable of influencing the final yield.
So the biggest issue right now is we don't know if we're going to be spraying for aphids. We don't know what the disease is going to be. And so that is part of the concern with soybeans. How much more babysitting do they need before the end of the year? And then also, will we get an August rain to kind of complete that crop? Sometimes we've had some dry Augusts, and then the pods don't quite fill. So I understand farmers are a little bit nervous when it comes to selling, but this is definitely a great opportunity.
The CME Group has launched its agriculture index to track the performance of five ag sectors: grain, oilseeds, livestock, dairy, and lumber. Monthly update will monitor supply chain issues, consumer purchasing habits, and the cost of farm products around the world. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network. U.S. Custom Harvesters, harvesting the crops that feed the world. To locate a custom harvester, visit the U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated website, uschi.com. You'll find a directory of custom harvesters ready to assist you with this harvest. Call 620-200-1381. That's 620-200-1381. U.S. Custom Harvesters. You can also check them out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Find out more at uschi.com.
World Weather Incorporated senior meteorologist Drew Lerner is your trusted source for agricultural weather. From the Northern Plains,
we do expect some showers to develop and a couple of thunderstorms. The majority of the meaningful rain, though, is going to be in southern Canada.
To South America,
Buenos Aires, La Pampa, and Cordoba, but it doesn't occur until we get into next week, leaving plenty of time for changes in the forecast.
Drew Lerner, only on the Red River Farm Network. We're reporting agriculture's business.
With a look at this week in the news, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network. The truce between the U.S. and Iran is over after repeated skirmishes over the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. reimposed sanctions on Iranian oil sales, Iran responding with attacks on U.S. military targets in Bahrain and Kuwait.
I think it's over. I don't want to deal with them anymore. They're scum. You know what scum is? They're scum. They're sick people. They're led by sick people.
President Donald Trump making those comments on the sidelines of the NATO summit in Turkey. Trump said negotiators can continue to talk, but didn't offer a lot of hope. With the latest development, crude oil prices jumped to their highest level in over 2 weeks. The renewed fighting in the Middle East putting fertilizer markets back on edge as the uncertainty grows over shipping through the Strait of Hormuz. StoneX Vice President of Fertilizer Josh Linville says any disruption to vessel traffic could have significant consequences for global fertilizer supplies.
At the very least, it puts more uncertainty into not only the fertilizer markets, but the, more important, the transportation market, the body of water. I mean, now you've seen ship owners watch, you know, boats go through and get attacked out of the blue, and that's just going to make them really backpedal on whether or not they want to take that chance again going into the future until they have something that looks like a final and firm peace agreement. The worst case scenario is the Strait of Hormuz remains closed. Ships just absolutely refuse because now all of a sudden, not only is it Iran taking pot shots, now the U.S. is back to attacking Iranian targets and this fighting is flaring up again. So we could see a complete stoppage of vessel traffic.
Mosaic temporarily cutting its phosphate fertilizer production in Brazil due to the renewed risk for shipping through the Strait of Hormuz. The situation in the Persian Gulf expected to reduce global sulfur supplies. Mosaic says it will return to full operating capacity once the supply situation normalizes. A new National Corn Growers Association report finds U.S. corn farmers are paying significantly more for key crop inputs than their competitors in Brazil. Chief economist Krista Swanson says the cost differences are substantial and directly affect farm profitability.
Corn seed prices in the U.S. averaged 68% higher than Brazil from 2023 to 2025. In fungicides, some comparisons showed U.S. prices at more than double Brazilian levels. Herbicides followed a similar pattern with many comparisons approaching double Brazil's prices. And for corn insecticides, U.S. prices averaged 87% higher over that same period.
The Agristo plant will process 1 billion pounds of potatoes per year, working with 40 to 50 local farmers. North Dakota Ag Commissioner Doug Goring, part of the groundbreaking ceremony that happened this week in Grand Forks.
This is a big deal. It supports our farmers in the Red River Valley, but it also speaks volumes about the fact that this is their flagship for the North American continent. I mean, when you think about it, this is their first major processing facility in the North American continent, and they're going to be delivering throughout the entire continent. But they're so confident in what can be produced here, the quality and the quantity, that they feel this is going to work really well for their consumers, for the market they're targeting and what they're doing.
RDO Equipment is expanding its John Deere dealership network with the acquisition of True North Equipment. True North Equipment has 8 dealership locations in North Dakota and Minnesota and 2 support facilities in Grand Forks. Pending final approval from John Deere, the deal is expected to close August 3rd. An agreement reached between the Federal Trade Commission, John Deere, and farmers from Minnesota and 4 other states. The agreement makes sure farmers have access to the diagnostic and repair tools necessary to maintain and repair their own John Deere equipment. The deal settles a right to repair case filed by the FTC in the states in early 2025. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Wheat growers, if you want to ace your yield this season, you've got to ace your fields. Miravis Ace Fungicide is fueled by the most potent SDHI chemistry available, offering powerful protection against head scab and other diseases long after spraying, and a 5 to 6 bushel per acre bump at harvest over competitive fungicides. Ask your Syngenta retailer about Miravis Ace Fungicide today. Always read and follow label instructions.
Check out the Job Opportunities in Agriculture tab on the Red River Farm Network website. The Pennington County Farm Service Agency in Thief River Falls is hiring a full-time permanent program analyst. The application deadline for this position is July 6th. Find out more on the Job Opportunities in Agriculture tab on the Red River Farm Network website. That's rrfn.com. If you have ag jobs to fill, contact the Red River Farm Network for more information. This Week in Weather, a presentation of the Red River Farm Network. Due to an upper level ridge pushing temperatures much higher this weekend, we're seeing heat index values into the 100 to 110 degree territory for Sunday and Monday. Late week, there was hail and wind damage in portions of North Dakota, heavy rainfall totals seen as well. Recent hailstorms have left many farmers weighing whether damaged crops can recover or should be abandoned. NDSU Extension Cropping Systems Specialist Jeff Stockler said every field is different and farmers should avoid making quick decisions, especially if crop insurance is involved.
If somebody has hail insurance, they must follow what the hail adjuster says, regardless of what it looks like. Many times the hail adjusters will not zero it out and will make them take it to harvest. If that's the case and it's very severe damage, they're going to have to watch for weeds in those fields. And soybeans are about the only crop that we still have some time to make some herbicide applications in as needed.
AccuWeather is warning that a developing El Nino pattern could intensify drought across parts of the northern plains over the next several years. Chief meteorologist John Porter says existing drought conditions are raising concerns about a prolonged dry pattern.
The significant concern for us is the amount of existing drought that we're going into the El Nino period with. And so that raises the concerns that that drought can get worse in some spots. And then after the El Nino peaks, likely during 2027, that drought can persist in some areas for 2 or 3 years, because it sometimes takes that long, especially in a strong El Nino setup, which we believe this one will be, for the weather patterns to sort of revert back to their long-term historic averages. One area of particular concern is the northern plains, where there's already drought now, and our expectation is that the El Nino pattern that's setting up now will likely create even further drought in some of those areas, because that's a part of the country that tends to not get a lot of rainfall in a sustained manner during an El Nino setup.
In western North Dakota, hot, dry weather taking its toll on local crops. Jackie Christman farms at Hettinger.
Oh, it all needs rain. Our canola looked really good, but it's this heat. I think we're supposed to get in hundreds by this weekend, and it's like 5 or 6 days of 90s or 100, and that's really, unless we get a shot of rain, that's going to really hurt the canola. The wheat, you know, I don't think the wheat's going to be a bumper crop by no means. But I'm hoping that we'll get, you know, 40, but that might be wishful thinking, too.
In Bowman, North Dakota, Miles Richard says the hay crop isn't panning out as well as he wanted.
Well, what we probably are seeing so far is probably in the order of magnitude of about 0.4, 0.45 ton an acre. And it's not very good. The straight alfalfa was far worse, took a pretty bad beating. The grass alfalfa held up better, and I guess in my view, I wouldn't necessarily suggest that it's drought entirely related, although no rain in May for us, about 40 hundredths or something in May is all we had down here. We had those early frosts, and I think that's what dinged the alfalfa so bad. I think with the grass stand along with it, I think it seemed to be a little bit more robust to tolerate that.
I'm Don Wick, This Week in Weather.
Boost your crop's health with Domark 230 ME and Badge SC fungicide exclusively from Gowan USA. Domark's systemic action teams up with Badge's outstanding mixing properties for unbeaten disease control on sugar beets and dried edible beans. Experience the power of two different modes of action with Domark and Badge. Don't wait. Contact your local ag retailer and ask about Domark 230 ME and Badge SC. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan USA.
The Sugar Beet Report can be heard Thursdays at 12:50 on this Red River Farm Network station. The content is also available at rrfn.com. We're visiting with farmers, extension specialists, agriculturalists, and more, delivering timely information for the beet grower. The Sugar Beet Report, sponsored by Gowan USA, Beta Seed, Vive Crop Protection, and Spin Aid from Belcham USA. The Sugar Beet Report, Thursdays on the Red River Farm Network.